It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep along the Grand Trunk Road. Some Pakistani women are grabbing a second chance at an education, and we'll hear their story this hour.
And I'm Renee Montaigne with Lynn Neary. Here in the U.S., the anti-incumbent winds were blowing yesterday during primary votes in several states. In Pennsylvania's Democratic primary, voters rejected the reelection bid of Senator Arlen Specter, who's been in office for 30 years. In Arkansas, the incumbent Democratic senator was forced into a runoff. And in Kentucky, voters rejected the candidate handpicked by the Senate's top Republican. NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson has more.
It was a bad night for the establishment. Candidates endorsed by party leaders in Washington lost, and touting experience was no protection against the wrath of the voters. In Kentucky, the insurgent candidate Rand Paul easily brushed past Secretary of State Trey Grayson, even though Grayson had been endorsed by Republican leaders like former Vice President Dick Cheney and Kentucky's own senior senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the U.S. Senate. Claiming his victory on behalf of the Tea Party movement, Paul said, "We have come to take our government back."
The Tea Party movement is huge. The mandate of our victory tonight is huge. What you have done and what we are doing can transform America. I think America's greatness hinges on us doing something to save the country.
Paul, who was an ophthalmologist in Bowling Green, had never run for office before. He's the son of Congressman Ron Paul, the Libertarian and Republican presidential candidate. But although Rand Paul benefited from his father's reputation and fundraising network, he ran his own campaign, sticking to the Tea Party themes of smaller government, fiscal responsibility, and term limits. Paul will run against the winner of the Democratic primary, Kentucky State Attorney General Jack Conway, himself an insurgent who challenged the state's Democratic Lieutenant Governor Dan Mangiardo and won by a single percentage point. Another Democrat was bucking his party establishment in Pennsylvania, where two-term Congressman Joe Sestak refused to clear the field for five-term incumbent Senator Arlen Specter. President Obama and Pennsylvania Democratic Governor Ed Rendell had endorsed Specter after the 80-year-old incumbent switched parties last year in a bid to save his seat. At his victory party last night, Sestak spoke with pride about taking on his own party.
This is what democracy looks like. A win for the people, over the establishment, over the status quo, even over Washington, D.C.
Specter conceded and endorsed Sestak, who will run against the Republican nominee, former Congressman Pat Toomey, in November. In Arkansas, the incumbent Democrat Blanche Lambert Lincoln was forced into a runoff when she failed to get 50% of the vote. Her opponent is Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, who was backed by organized labor and liberal groups who felt Lincoln was too conservative. The winner of the runoff will face Republican Congressman John Boozman, who has been running ahead of both of them in state polls. Although Democratic leaders couldn't get Lincoln or Specter over the finish line, there was a bright spot for them in the special election in Pennsylvania's 12th congressional district, a race closely watched as a bellwether for Democrats' prospects in November. By a comfortable margin, the Democrat, Mark Kritz, defeated Republican Tim Burns for the seat long held by the late Democratic Congressman John Murtha. Although Democratic by registration, the 12th District of Pennsylvania was the only congressional district in the country that voted for John Kerry in 2004 and then for John McCain in 2008. It's a socially conservative, economically hard-pressed district filled with white, blue-collar voters. And failing to pick it up was a disappointment for Republicans, says former Republican Congressman Tom Davis, who once headed his party's campaign committee.
It's a tough one to explain losing, except for the fact that the Democratic primary turnout was so high, coming out for the Specter-Sestak race. But this should not have been a loss for the Republicans. If there's really a wave, this was the kind of district, it's a blue-collar district, not many minorities. This is the kind of district Republicans need to win if they're going to take back the House, and they failed.
It's impossible to get a clear roadmap for the midterm elections from just a handful of primaries and one special election. But if there's a takeaway from all the races since 2008, says political analyst Charlie Cook, it's that the same sentiment has been driving voters for the last 4 years.
Well, they voted for change in 2006. They voted for change in 2008. And they're voting for change in 2010. I think what we've got is voters that don't have a lot of patience or tolerance for elected officials anymore. They have very itchy trigger fingers. If they don't get what they want immediately, they vote for change.
Both parties' establishments are having to run as fast as they can to keep up with the change. As soon as the results were in last night, Democratic and Republican leaders rushed to embrace their winning insurgents, now their official champions, promising to unite behind them to beat their opponents in November. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.